So last week we looked at reclaiming our identity in Christ, and we have the paper back there. If you missed last week, you can listen to that online. I got it uploaded this morning and linked properly because I linked some things wrong on there, so now all that is fixed, and there's a paper back there that you can take home to see what God says about your identity in Him. And so throughout the year, we're going to look at reclaiming a whole bunch of things, and this week what I wanted to try to reclaim is our connection to God. But first, before I get into that, how many of you guys have a cell phone? So like 3 people in the whole entire church have a cell phone, huh? I've got more phone numbers than that in here. So pretty much everybody has a cell phone, right? These days, even like, you know, kids. Now, Buddy was in here. He doesn't have his cell phone yet. He has to wait until he's 12, and he doesn't like that. But most of our kids have had a cell phone since 12 or before, and I think Patrick has a similar rule, right? Yeah, so, but pretty much everybody has cell phones. So hopefully this will make some sense, some frustrations that I have with my cell phone. So my cell phone is pretty old. It's a Samsung Galaxy S4, and like a year or so ago, I got on my car and it broke my screen on there, and I keep going. And then up until just a few weeks ago, I was always griping about the battery life. So I could unplug my phone at home, get in my car, drive to work, and by the time I would get to work, it was at 80%. Anybody else have phones that die that quickly? Big Dave has one. So it bites, like you know, and then I'd plug it in at work, and if I took it off there for any length of time or forget, then by the end of the day, it was almost dead. And for some reason up here at the church, you plug in a phone, and it just does not want to charge very good. And I've tried multiple chargers, multiple outlets, and there's some kind of a problem up here with that. So it kind of bites. But my battery on my phone, I hook it up to power, it charges up, and then after a little while, it goes down. And whenever there's no battery left, then I can't make any calls. So it kind of freaks me out. If I don't plug in my phone at night, and I know there's going to be nobody else in the church like this, but if I forget to plug it in and it goes dead and I go to get into my car and I have no battery, it weirds me out a little bit because I think, oh my gosh, this is going to be the day I'm going to break down on the way to work. And then what happens whenever it breaks down? I'm going to have to walk and go knock on somebody's door and ask them to use their phone. So it kind of freaks me out whenever I don't have my phone. But then this morning as I was going over this, I started thinking, like, you know what, for a long time I never had any cell phone, and I drove all over the place. I even drove to Tennessee without a cell phone. And back then, if you broke down, that's what you did. You got out and you walked and you went and knocked on somebody's door and asked them for a phone or something to call somebody, and that's just what we did. But ever since I've had a cell phone, like, I want that thing to be charged up and ready to go. There's nothing like needing your cell phone and it's not charged up. It's very frustrating and annoying. So one night, whenever I was up here at the church, I don't remember how long ago, I can't remember who I was here with. It may have been like Cheeto, but we were up here and we were talking. My phone goes dead, didn't have a charger up here, didn't have one in my car because I'd moved it to the van. And so we were up here late, and then I go home, and Amber's mad at me because I hadn't been answering texts or calls, and she was wondering what was going on with me. And I was up here the whole entire time. I just didn't have a way to charge my phone. So it can be kind of frustrating. But then just a few weeks ago, things kind of changed up a little bit because I bought a battery on Amazon. It only cost me like $20. And now my phone, I can unplug it in the morning, and I can drive to work. And if I don't open it up at all, it's probably at like 99%. It still is a little bit, but not much. And it actually usually lasts for most of the day now before it goes completely and totally dead. There were nights when I first got it that I've got the flashlight burning on there. I'm opening up like every app and doing everything I can to try to make my phone go dead because they say you're supposed to charge it fully, let it drain out till it dies, and then plug it back in. And that's how you get an extended battery life. So now I've got this cool battery that holds a charge a little bit longer, and I don't have to charge it as often throughout the day, at least, and it lasts for a lot longer. So the best way, though, that I have found to keep my phone going in the way that it needs to be is to just keep it plugged into the power at all times, and then it never goes dead or has any kind of problems. So yesterday I didn't even take my phone off of the charger. It just sat there fully charged all day long, and if I needed it, well, it was sitting right there next to me. So, I start thinking about that, and then I start thinking about like my life and how that can be applicable. And I'm about to turn like a little corner here, so you guys will have to stay with me as I do that. But what happens to me in my life is I have some type of God-given batteries, but I need to connect to power to keep them charged up in many different ways. And in one way, I have like these batteries for my introvertedness, right? Like I'm an introvert, so whenever I have a whole lot of people around me and conversations and things, then my batteries drain down, and then I have to go be in a quiet place for a little while and charge back up, and then I'm good to go. Whereas like Ariel, I don't know if she's in here or not, but Ariel, she needs people to charge up. So when she's stuck by herself or something and she's not getting people time, then she starts to drain out. And that's like my recharge time. But I also feel like I have spiritual batteries, right? These spiritual batteries tend to drain out at the most unwelcome times. Like you're fully charged, your spiritual batteries are draining out, and then it's at a time when you're going to be around somebody that is annoying, so you may lash out at them because your battery's drained out, so your spiritual battery, so you lash out at them, and maybe you lash out at somebody out of road rage, right? Someone cuts you off, somebody pulls up to the stop sign clearly after you did, clearly, and they still pull out in front of you with their big long trailer, and you have to back up and all that kind of stuff. So something like that could happen, they could do it, or something with your spouse, or something with your kid, or something at work, or whatever the case may be, but at the most unwelcome times, your spiritual batteries are drained. Are you guys with me on that so far? Making sense? Anybody else have that kind of problem? Like, that's whenever you're drained, and that's when things start happening, is because you're so drained and you have no defense up against those kind of things. So, what do you think is the power source for our spiritual batteries? That's a question. Feel free to answer. God's Word? Absolutely. What else? It's a connection to Him. Prayer. Prayer. Yes. You have notes. Yeah, so prayer. Prayer is another thing, right? Prayer and God's Word is what I have here. So prayer is how we charge up our batteries, and we need to go back to that power source regularly to keep our batteries full. One of the best ways to do that is to always be able to just top off. So if our battery is pretty high and we're just topping off all the time, we maintain a steady flow of that connection to our source of power, which is Jesus Christ. That's God. We have that connection to Him. So how many times do we come to church on Sundays and we sing our worship songs, the great worship session? Sometimes it doesn't feed us as good as we could, but maybe there's a good message. We've all had it happen where we go to some type of service and we leave there and we are pumped up for Jesus, right? And then we walk out of the church doors and we're like, man, I'm going to go out and save somebody. And we can't save people, but Jesus can. We want to go out and, like, if there's some unchurched person on the side of the road, I'm going to jump out and I'm going to talk to him and I'm going to tell him about Jesus. So we're pumped up sometimes. But then as the week goes on and our spiritual battery starts to get more and more drained and we're not recharging that what we need to, by Saturday something can trigger something, and that's when we're drained. We're so drained, and we're able to we're not thinking the way that we should be. We're not doing things the way that we should be doing, so we end up lashing out at someone or doing something wrong. That's whenever our mind starts to get bogged down. With my cell phone, whenever the battery would get down to like 20% that last one, my phone would start acting weird. Applications would just close, or they wouldn't close, they would stick, and I couldn't get anything to happen to them, or it would just restart at random. So wonky things would happen on my cell phone whenever I would let the battery get to be too low. And I think the same thing happens to us whenever we let our spiritual batteries get to be too low. We start getting into wonky land, and we start not being obedient to God's Word and not being very loving towards God or not being very loving towards our neighbors, because we're so spiritually drained at that point. And so we need to be pumped up. We need to be charged up all the time, because we We lose that power over time that we've got by keeping our connection to our source, by keeping our connection to power that is God. So, one thing we have to remember though with our spiritual batteries, right, is that they're never going to go dead. Like our cell phone batteries can go so dead that it's not going to do anything. Our phone turns off, it's worthless. Well, we're not going to get cut off. As believers, we have a living Jesus inside of us that wells up like a spring, the living water that's inside of us all the time. But we can certainly get really low when we don't have that connection like what we're needing to have with our Father in heaven. So we have to keep that charge so that we don't start making mistakes. Whenever I think about all these big mistakes that I've made in my lifetime, and I don't, you know, I was saved at 6 years old, so most of my life I've been proclaiming to be a believer. So all my mistakes have been as a believer. But every one of those times I was spiritually drained. When Amber and I were dating, we went to a church here in Glen Rose, and I love that church. I love the pastor. I went every Sunday. I was involved in college student stuff. We were in Sunday school, but then the two of us, we got married. We moved up to the city together, and once I'm up there in the city, like, you know, I start letting that battery get drained, and next thing you know, I'm making bad decisions. I don't want to go to church, Amber. That church is too big. That church is too weird. That church is too small. I don't like the pastor at that one. And I'm making unwise decisions. I should have went and let my batteries get charged up, but a lot of my mistakes have been made when my spiritual batteries were really, really, really low. So I let my circumstances dictate my life instead of letting the Spirit guide me, because I was just too low to do anything about that, to even want to seek God, because it was so low. So I have to remember to constantly want to be charged up. So today I think all of us would probably like to learn how to keep charged up with the power that only comes from one source, power that never fails us, power that is always available to us, and power that we can use for absolutely free. Does that sound good to everybody? Most everybody said okay for the recording. So that sounds great, right? That'd be really cool. So some people might argue that the cost of following Jesus is actually really high. It's not a low cost. It's certainly not free. But I've learned that the cost of not following God is much higher. And the cost of following Him has been paid in full. That's already paid for. Even the things that we believe that we're losing or that we're having to give up over wanting to follow Jesus are like nothing compared to Him giving His life for us. He gave everything. So anything that we look at and say, okay, I'm supposed to stop doing some of these things because I love God, because He says that it's good, any of those things are nowhere near compared to Jesus giving His entire life for us. So I want to reclaim today our connection to God. So let's reclaim our prayer life with Him. So whenever I'm starting to study these things throughout the week and trying to figure out what's going to be the best way to do these things, I start asking questions about things. And I start reading, I start searching on Google and reading all kinds of different things on there. And then I read the scriptures that go along with that. I start reading some commentaries to make sure that everything is making sense and that everything kind of flows together the way that I think that the message is coming to me. So this week, yesterday I was finishing up the message that I had for today. And this has happened like, you know, 3 or 4 times in the last 2 years that I'm getting nowhere. Like I'm trying to make everything make sense, and it's just nowhere. I'm like, God, am I doing something wrong? I mean, is this not what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I not paying attention? Is there somewhere that I'm messing up? And it turns out the answer to that was yes, because as soon as I started listening and asking for what I should be speaking, then it became more and more clear, and it flowed perfectly. So, but I asked questions. Like the very first question that I asked is, why should we pray? Does anybody know why we should pray? The author of Hebrews did. The author of Hebrews, if you guys want to turn to it in Hebrews 4, we'll put it up here on the screen too. So I think that the author of Hebrews, he had it right whenever he wrote this. He said, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So there's a couple of of great things, I think, here is one, that whenever we draw near the throne of grace, like we're coming, but when we go into prayer, we're coming before God's throne. We are before Him, and we're talking to God, the creator of everything. We're not talking to like the wind or something that doesn't exist. We're talking to the creator. We have that prayer channel right there to be at the throne room of God when we're speaking to Him. And it can be a two-way conversation also. We can hear God. I've heard His voice. So we need to recognize that when we go to prayer, we're standing before God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Creator of all things. We're standing before Him. And number two, that we pray so that we might receive mercy and find grace in a time of need. So I need a lot of mercy a lot of times, and I certainly need to find grace. And a lot of times I need to give grace to people in times of need. So I feel like if I'm not constantly being in prayer, if I'm not constantly charged, if those spiritual batteries are getting low, then I'm going to not have what I need available at a time of need when I'm struggling with something or whenever something is going on that I need to get through and I'm having a hard time. If my battery is so low that I'm not focused on what Jesus would have me do, then I'm going to start messing up more and more. And I can think of a lot of different times. So another reason that we should pray comes from Jesus' half-brother, James. And James, he says this, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." Sounds like some symptoms of low spiritual batteries, doesn't it? He's saying that we desire and we don't have. Like, I think that goes all the way back to Cain and Abel, right? Cain desired the favor that Abel got from God for his offering, and then he turned to anger, and eventually he ended up murdering his brother. And that's not to say that we're going to get mad and go out and kill someone, but if we are furious in anger and we start to hate somebody, then Jesus said that that's like murdering them. So we can build up a lot of hate. And I start thinking about these. I'm going to get too far ahead of myself if I start jumping right there. So we covet and we can't. We see things. We see things that other people have, a very nice, beautiful, huge house, and we start to crave that and want that and want more than what God has given to us. And so then that can cause us to mess up some more and start making mistakes, right? We start to covet it, and next thing you know that we're messing up somehow on that. We see somebody that has a really awesome car. We start wanting a really awesome car or an awesome truck. And so we start to covet that, and that starts to cause us some problems. So we can end up fighting and quarreling. And it also says something interesting, that we don't have because we don't ask. A lot of times we may not have something because we haven't even thought to ask God for that. We don't pray for that. We just sit there and maybe complain that we don't have something instead of asking God for that. So the next question, that's like a couple of reasons that we should pray. And there's many reasons that we should pray. Primarily, that connection to God that keeps our spiritual batteries charged up to where we're not making mistakes. So the next question is how should I pray? Should I pray by getting down onto one knee? Should I be on two knees? Do I need to put my hands like this? And do I hold it at heart level? Or do I need to bow down my head? Should I cover my head whenever I pray like they teach in Judaism? Should, you know, how is it that I should pray? What are the ways that we should pray? I think that God just wants us to pray with a heart for Him. I don't think that it matters if we come before Him with our heads covered or our hands cupped just right or any of these kind of things. James, Jesus' brother, a little bit further down the next verse says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. You spend it on your passions." So if we come before God and our heart isn't right, that's what God doesn't want. He doesn't want us to come before Him with a selfish motivation asking for Him, or having some kind of a prideful reason for coming to Him, that we're opening up our prayer with those sorts of things. So we need to make sure that whenever we're praying to God, when we're standing before that throne, that we're kingdom-minded. Like, we're asking for things for kingdom reasons. And whenever I think of that, like the house. If you're praying for a house because you're trying to run some type of an orphanage or whatever the case may be, but you need more space, like it's getting to be too crowded, or there's something, and you're asking God, like, God, I need more space because I want to reach more people for You. I'm trying to reach these children that have no parents, foster care, or whatever the case may be. Maybe they have parents, but they're put with You so that they can hear a life-changing message of Jesus Christ. But you're running out of space and you're asking God for a bigger house. I don't think that's a problem. If you're wanting a bus to be able to go pick up people for church so that they can come and hear a life-saving message for Jesus Christ, I don't think there's anything wrong with those things. It's whenever our motives become selfish that we start to pray in error. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray. And so He taught them what we now call the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in Matthew chapter 6. Now I'm going to start at verse 5, I think. I don't know if that's what I put into the computer. But, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they might be seen by others." So these guys, the promise kind of enacted that pretty good. They're out there and they're just praying, walking around the street so that all the people can see how important they are and how religious they are, that they're willing to spend the time praying out there to God at all these different times in the synagogues and wherever. They just are using a whole bunch of words to make themselves look really good, like they're the super religious ones. God chose them to be who they are, and they're better than all the rest of these people because they're out there praying. But then when we look at the next verse, it says, "Truly I say to you, they've received their reward." So their reward is the people seeing them. And that's all that they're really gaining by doing these big, you know, super prayers out in front of everybody, is the people seeing them and thinking how awesome and how cool and how religious they are. That's not where I want to be. "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." That's kind of cool. God already knows when we're about to go before Him exactly what we need. We're just going to ask Him for it because He already knows. So we don't need to be very eloquent in our speech when we're speaking to God. And I'm thankful for that because I'm not very eloquent that way anyway. So he says, "So pray then like this." And this is the English Standard Version. And as I was reading this morning, it's different from what King James says. But it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So that's the way that Jesus taught the disciples to pray and the way that we should pray. And in one of our Sunday night sessions, we want to break down this prayer and try to understand it a little bit more as to how we should be praying. But I know that whenever we pray, we need to believe it. We need to have faith that we're actually speaking to God and that He can answer. And one of the best ways that they told us to pray in seminary is to pray something where you receive an answer back. God, I would like to see my friend, insert name here, to come to know You, to have salvation. Would You give me a sign that they're coming to know You? God can answer yes, God can answer no, or God can answer not now. Answer in a variety of ways, but if we pray for things that we're looking for an answer back, then when we see that answer, we can know beyond a shadow of doubt that God's hearing us. And that's an awesome way to be. So we need to have faith also whenever we pray, because we're not praying to someone that can't hear us. We have a Savior that's interceding on our behalf, so we need to pray like we, like we're talking to our Father, like we're talking to our Dad, and just speak to Him and pour out our heart to Him. Moses did that. Joshua did that. David did that. Many of the prophets did that. Because doubt can obstruct our prayers. If we're not believing what we're asking for, if we're not believing that God will give us whatever it is that we're wanting, whatever we're needing is a better way to put that. God will give us what we need, but He doesn't always give us what we want. But sometimes we do get what we want as well. He blesses us that way. So we can know that we have a Father that cares and loves for us, or has love for us. So Matthew and Mark, there's other obstructions, right? There's not just lacking belief or lacking faith in our prayer. There's other obstructions too that can hinder our prayers, that can hinder God answering us back. Did you guys know that there's things that can hinder your prayer? Some people are nodding yes for the recording. So what are some of the things that can hinder us? So Matthew and Mark both remind us that if we lack forgiveness towards someone, that God won't forgive us. That's a tough one. See, for quite a while, I think my batteries are probably going dead. So for quite a while, I thought that I'd forgiven like everyone, right? Like I was perfectly right with God. And then I did this. I said, God, if there's anybody out there that I have not forgiven yet, just show me those people so that I can forgive them, and that I can ask for their forgiveness for not forgiving them, or for whatever reason I'm not forgiving them for. And then He did. That's not always an easy thing. It can happen right in the middle of a conversation. You hear something, and then you remember something, and you're like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. You just pointed out one, and I want to let go of that anger and that be gone forever. And so then you're able to forgive. So ask God to point out to you where you haven't forgiven so that you can be forgiven by Him. So if we're lacking forgiveness towards someone against us for some reason, that can hinder our prayers. So it's an obstruction. So also, if we have unconfessed sin, if we haven't confessed our sins to Him to repent from those, if we're harboring these things and trying to hide them from God, it's like there's no point in it, but we still want to do that anyway, right? Like we know what we did. We know that it was wrong, but we, for some reason, want to kind of hide that. We may still have a good prayer life, but we're still holding on to this little thing over here thinking we can hide it from God, kind of like Adam and Eve running out and putting on fig leaves and trying to hide in the garden. God already knew what they did. There was no hiding from Him. And they had to come and they had to confess what they had done wrong. So if we have unconfessed sin, it can obstruct our prayers. How can we stand before God and ask Him for things whenever we aren't doing what He asks of us? So several times throughout the Bible, we also are told to pray without ceasing. And I don't think that means that we're just supposed to walk around constantly in prayer all the time. We can't focus on anything else because all that we're doing is praying. But we're supposed to constantly be in prayer, to keep ourselves plugged in to God, like the cell phone, constantly plugged in, constantly reaching out to Him for His guidance, for His love, to keep those spiritual batteries charged up. So if we don't stay plugged in, then that's whenever things start to come against us, right? And the battle isn't flesh and blood. Paul talks about that. It's not against the people. When these things start coming against us, it's against things in the spiritual realm that we're fighting against. So we talked last year about the armor of God. We need to keep that armor of God on. We need to keep prayed up, keep that connection constantly. So prayer is so important and it's so powerful. We need that power constantly in our lives. So we need to take time daily and throughout the day even to connect up to God. So whenever your day is just crazy and it's stressful and you feel it, odds, then just take a minute to just pray and connect up and ask God for some peace and for to just, you know, slow things down so that you can work out things and ask for His guidance. And you don't have, you know, if you're at work and the stress is there and there's all these crazy things going on. It's not like you need to jump out of your chair, roll out a mat or whatever and start praying to God. You can pray to Him while you're staring at your screen or staring at whatever it is that you do, and you're able to just reach out to God, connect up with Him, and just ask Him for peace, and He will give it to you. Especially if you keep those batteries charged up all throughout the day, keep your connection to Him. You can connect up and talk to God, ask Him for help, ask Him for wisdom, for grace, for forgiveness, for love, and anything that you're short on to stay kingdom focused. A lot of times there's frustration. It can be at home with kids or with your spouse or whatever, that you, before you do that lashing out thing because those batteries are low, it's always wise to try to speak to God first, to remember memory reflexes. If we start working on our memory reflexes to always go to prayer, then as soon as something happens, then our automatic reflex is going to be to turn to God. And I need to work on this also this year with you guys. So I want us to reclaim prayer today. I think that we can do that. I think it's safe to think that we can do that. And we're going to ask God for help. So Patrick is going to play the music, and I'm going to open us up in prayer. And then I'm just going to give us a couple of minutes for you guys to pour out your hearts to God. Ask Him for forgiveness for the ways that you have failed Him. ask Him to point out things in your life that you need to be rid of, sin that you haven't confessed yet, that you can just give over to Him and that you can charge up your batteries. And ask Him for help to keep you charged up throughout the day. This is all like training, getting ready for going out and taking the message of Jesus Christ to people. So we want to be prayed up. We want to be able to teach them how to pray, so we've got to learn it ourselves. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before You today, and we just ask You for help right now. God, we want to reclaim our identities in Christ and Your Son. We want to reclaim our prayer time. God, it can get put on the back burner, and then we don't spend enough time with You, and then our relationship is strained, and we know that. So today, Jesus, we're asking to help us to reclaim our prayer time, to help us to turn to You in every time of need for guidance, for direction, for help, for peace, for comfort, for all the different things that we need, because we know You are the provider of everything. God, whenever we go to have a meal and we pray and thank You for that meal, help us to recognize it's because Jesus thanked You for that meal, because we should be thankful for everything that You've given to us, our food, our things that we have that can sometimes be a hindrance, but we thank You for everything. God, we ask that You would give us peace, that You give us comfort, that You would point out the things in our lives that just aren't needed, that are just in the way. God, today, help us to confess our mistakes, our sins to You so that they don't hinder us. God, help us to point out the people that we need to forgive so that our prayers aren't hindered anymore. God, help us learn from Jesus how to pray, how to ask for things that we need. We love You, and we know that You love us, and that's why we want to turn our hearts to You. So God, use this time that I'm going to just shut my mouth to just speak to our hearts here today. thank you for this time. Thank you for this church body. God, right now we want to lift up every single person here today. God, every single person that we're going to come in contact with in the future, that you would guide us, that you would give us the words to speak truth into their lives. You would help us to desire for people to come. So there would be a fire inside of us just wanting to reach the lost people. God, we want to lift up Israel today. The UN, that you would be their guide, that you would protect Israel. God, thank you for always hearing us, for always being there, for always walking with us. And whenever we fall, that you pick us up. Or we make mistakes, that you forgive us. And that you help us to live the life that we're called to live as ambassadors for your kingdom. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Be with us today as we leave this service, as we go home to spend time with our families. That we'd be able to love everyone the way that you love us. Thank you, Lord. We ask for all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.